All right, let's finish up our preparations for Shavuot. So on Shin Sadi Vav, the title of Perek Shemini, Hachana LeKabbalos HaTorah, which is...
Yeah, it actually doesn't have the page on it. The
page, it looks like this.
Yeah, I got it.
The second paragraph. Oh, no, I skipped around yet last week, so I want to start with something. So we were discussing the concept of Kavod. That was really the discussion last week, the concept of appreciating that in the world that we live in, there's a world of values. We could put a value on everything in the world. In the physical world we live in, so everything has a price. How much are you willing to pay for this? How much are you willing to give? Your time has a price. Your materials have a price. Your service has a price. And in the spiritual world, we don't measure things with dollar signs. We measure things with the amount of kavod that you give it. The amount of kavod that something is deserving is the spiritual way of putting a price tag on something. The more we honor something, the more that it is of value. The less we honor it, the less that it is of value. And the same is true of how people honor us, how we honor others. The medium of the currency of value in the spiritual world is based on kavod. When they open up the Aron Kodesh, everybody stands. We're trying to inculcate within us that there's something significant. Say, if a Torah is in the room, we stand. It's a giving of kavod, it's a giving of value, it's understanding the appreciation. Last week we covered the halachas of a person who eats publicly, walking through the shuk, walking through the marketplace. He's possibly aidless, he's disqualified from testifying because he lacks such a level of personal integrity or a sensitivity of his own being that he doesn't care about doing something. We don't even want him to testify. We don't even view him as being sensitive towards it, and that also has nothing to do with eating hot dogs at a baseball game. We're gonna don't even go there. Don't even go there. Okay, so picking up on that thread, let's go with the second paragraph. Me'ata nis'amik. Now let's look into this a little bit deeper, says Revol. The Chazal Omrim ki ha'oisek batoira harezem nis'ala. So then yesterday we learned 6th parak of Pirkei Avos. From that 6th parak, someone who is osek in Torah, someone who toils, learns Torah, he is uplifted. Nis'ala. He's raised up. The Mishnah quotes a pasuk, mi'matona nachaliel, mi'nachaliel, bomos. So the person is raised up. Says the Revolva, what does that mean, that a person who sits and learns Torah is nis'ala? He becomes exalted. He becomes raised up, literally. What does that mean? Nechse ana. Let's look into this. Mahu makom hahis alus hazos. Where is this place for this? What does that mean? Haseichon nischadet. Certainly a person who learns, his mind will be sharper. Yidiosov misrachvos. His knowledge base will be expanded. A person who sits and learns, good, will sharpen your mind. Will expand your base of knowledge. Ach im eino mishtane kulo. But if you're learning, and those things are happening on the one side, for sure, your mind gets sharper, your knowledge base is increased, but if you are not entirely changed, b'chol hisnahalguso, all of your behaviors, b'achvos tairoso, as a result of your study, adayin einze hisalus. If I could look at you today and measure you up as a person, and then I can send you to yeshiva for a month, and you come back, and you are the same person, just that you happen to know more things. You've learned a little bit more, Tysus. You know half a blot, a two blot, five blot of Gemara, but you, in essence, are really the same person. Then that's not what the Gemara, the Mishnah means when it says that a person who's osek in Torah, he's a mis'ala, he's raised up. Al kigon zeh, on this kind of person who sits and learns, but is not changed, kosev hachosed yavitz. So the Baal Chosid Yavitz for the parish of Pirkei Avos writes, Shira'inu Adam Gadol Batorah. You sometimes see a person who's a Gadol Batorah. He really knows a lot of Torah. Sheva Emes Eino Chacham. But he's not what we call a Chacham. Ella, he's a Yodeya Torah. There's such a thing as a person who we call a Yodeya Torah. There are two categories we have when we discuss people who sit and learn for a long time. We have what we refer to as a Talmud Chacham. And then says the Chosid Yavitz, you have a character called a Yodeya Torah. He knows a lot of Torah. Why are we distinguishing, says the Chosid Yavitz? Because if he has not changed, all that he's done is he's accumulated knowledge. He's gained stuff. He knows a lot of halacha. He can answer a question. He can explain the Tosus. He knows the Masechta by heart. He's a Yodeya Torah. He knows a lot. But he's not a Chacham. He hasn't been affected by his learning. He hasn't become something different. Im kain aye mekom hahis alus v'adam. Where is this? So how do we measure? What do we see if a person is or is not changed? If he's accomplishing what he needs to through his learning? Hanira v'zeh v'ezras Hashem b'viru. Who in my mind says Revolva with Bezrus Hashem, I hold this as follows. Kimokum ze hi hi adinos hanefesh. This is that sensitivity of the person's soul. A person becomes a more sensitive being in all of his behaviors, in all of his actions, the way that he speaks, the way that he interacts with people. Im ha'oisek b'torah mis'alu b'emes. If a person who's learning Torah really is changed, he really is lifting himself up, so to speak. Kol hanhagoso mivato'o adinos v'atzilos roch. All of his behaviors are expressions of this adinos, of this sensitivity, this refinement. The poshut haboris baruch hu dak al dak arein yivdak, the language that we say from before Musaf, the little capital we say on Yontif. Dak al dak, he's fine, so fine, I don't even know how to translate that. It's finery, fine from fine, till you can't make it any more finer. The kol in yonashel teres hakdosha hidak was everything about the Torah to refine oneself. Begeder, harim, tuim, b'chotasara, mountains which are hung literally on the threads. V'lechena korv ve'emes lebori ve'latora, someone who's really close, who wants to come close, becomes close to Hashem and to his Torah. Mis'ala be'hargosha dako b'chol in yonav. V'yotzeres hanhaga shel nechpados. He gives rise to a hanhaga, a way of acting of nechpados, of honor. And this is really where you see, Rav Olba speaks about this a lot throughout his sefer. Let's read one more line, actually. Misha emo adinos nefesh. Someone who doesn't have that, emo hakli shebo yuchol lekabel amitas haTorah. He doesn't have the vessel with which to receive the Torah. He speaks about this a lot. In one of his prakim, he speaks about, he writes as an introduction to what he's about to talk about. This following paragraph, he says, is after you've worked on yourself and you've gotten rid of all of those horrible midos that give a person a base character. Like you've already, those are the basics. A person who's not a mean person, a person who's not angry, a person who doesn't say harsh things. There's a certain type of character which is so unrefined, it's so not yet sensitive to the fineries of behavior. We're not even ready. Like there's a certain type of musar that's, you're not even ready for that yet. That's still too elementary in terms of refining yourself as a person. So Rav Olba writes that what the Torah is supposed to do as a person sits and learns to create that sensitivity where a person becomes a different type of person. There's a level of refinement of sensitivity that goes on in the way that he behaves with himself and with others, the way that he carries himself, with a stain on his clothing as we discussed last week. A person doesn't want to eat while he walks through the shuk. There's nothing wrong with that. If a person were to ask and say, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with walking through the marketplace eating my hot dog? It's hard to put your finger on it and say, well, this is what's wrong with it. Other than what's wrong with it is, it's not nice. And if you can't appreciate that, well, that's a level of sensitivity of refinement where a person appreciates that's simply not a way to behave. There's no other way. I don't have the words. There's nothing physically or technically wrong with it. It's just unrefined.
So what about if the person has the sensitivity, but not necessarily the Torah learning? I mean, he has the kavod to the, he gives the amount of kavod to the Torah and to people who learn Torah, but he himself isn't able to, you know, learn the amount. But is that still count as anything?
For sure. I don't give out the schar in the world to come, so I don't know how exactly you say it was accounted as anything. The topic here is discussing the other way around, where a person learns and doesn't accomplish that. So a person works on himself, so that's for sure something. That's the goal, is to get to a level of refinement. Then you have the vessel with which, as his last line was, now you have the vessel with which to receive the Torah.
It's like a derech eretz kadmon l'Torah kind of thing.
Correct. There's a certain refinement. And then the Torah learning that a person does has to then further and constantly refine that, where it should be that a person goes away for a year to yeshiva and he comes back, he's a different person, and you can notice that. You see that something has happened. He's been affected by the fact that he's been learning. Something has changed, as opposed to becoming a Yodea Torah, where, yeah, I have my Seder at night, I come, I learn for a little bit, but nothing changes. I'm not affected in any way by that. Okay, so this is, again, in his section of a Hachana. This is a preparation for Kabbalah Sator. So we get used to getting ready, getting sensitive to that concept of Kavod, of giving Kavod, of acting with Kavod, of being prepared to achieve a certain sensitivity of the Nefesh. So I want to do one more paragraph in this, which is on the other sheet. It's really just, it's the same chapter, but it's just on the back side of the page, just on the other side of the photocopy. The top paragraph. On the right hand side. Bo'urei, so it brings Rashi. Bo'urei divrei Rashi lifnei aseres hadibros v'acharin. Look at the words of Rashi, says Rav Olda, both before and after the giving of the Torah. In Perek Chof, in Parshas Yisro, is aseres hadibros, so there's a pasuk that he's going to look at right before that and right after that. Lifnei ha'hizgalus hiktim ha'kadosh baruch hu lomar li Yisrael atem tihiyu li mamlechas koyhanim v'goy kadosh. So in that Perek Yutes, the Perek leading up to the Aseres HaDibros, the Jewish people arrive at Har Sinai, at Midbar Sinai, really the desert, the wilderness of Sinai on Rosh Chodesh, which was today, and then they prepare for the 6 days for Kabbalah Aseres. So the Torah describes during those 6 days, Moshe goes up to Har Sinai and back down four times, up and down with different messages. Each time he goes up, he gets a different prophecy from Hashem, a different message to bring down to the Jewish people. So the Torah describes, they arrived at the Midbar Sinai and Rosh Chodesh. On the morning of Beis Sivan, Moshe goes up to Har Sinai and receives the following Nevuah, and he comes back down and he tells the people. That Nevuah included this pasuk of Hashem says to the Jewish people, Atem Re'isim, you saw yourselves that which I did to Mitzrayim. And if you listen to what I have to say, you'll become for me a mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh. This is the first message that Hashem gives Moshe to give to the Jewish people at their arrival in the Midbar Sinai. What does it mean to be a mamlechas kohanim? What does that mean to be a nation of kohanim? Now the word the kohen, the general word of kohen that's used in the Torah, obviously is not what it means here, because kohen is in reference to kohen Levi Yisrael, has a specific role as far as his role in the Beis HaMikdash, a specific role amongst the Jewish people. That can't be what Hashem means to tell us, the Jewish people, that we will all be a mamlechas kohanim. So Rashi and the Ramban argue. The Ramban understands the word mamlechas kohanim to be a reference to, in the same way as a kohen is mishares, serves in the Beis HaMikdash. So what Hashem meant to tell us, the Jewish people, that we'll become a mamlechas kohanim, is that we'll become a nation of misharsei Hashem. We will be the ones to serve Hashem. Just like in the Jewish world, the kohanim serve Hashem more than the Levim, more than the Yisrael, and they are hands-on doing more than the rest of us. So then in the world sense, in the hierarchy of the world population, we will be a nation of kohanim in relation to the non-Jews. We will be misharis. We will serve Hashem more than the other nations. That's how the Ramban is saying. That's how the word kohen is a reference to a misharis. Rashi, however, learns differently. Rashi learns as he quotes here, Kos of Rashi, in the third line down, kohanim is sorim. Kohanim has a reference as a meaning of a prince, officer, some higher dignitary of sorts. That the children of David were kohanim. Now we know that David was a king. So if David was a king, what Sheva did he come from?
Yehuda.
He had to come from Yehuda. So what in the world does the pasuk mean when the pasuk says that the Bnei David were kohanim? They obviously were not kohanim. It means that they were sarim. They were princes. They were the sons of a king. So Rashi says, that's what the Torah meant when Hashem says to Moshe, to tell the Jewish people, you will be for me a mamleches kohanim, you will be the sons of a king. Now what's the significance, what's the imagery, according to Rashi? What does Hashem want to tell us when he says you'll be b'nei malachim? You'll be a sar, an officer.
Put yourself as if you're the prince.
I mean, there's a certain stature, there's a certain way a person walks around and carries himself if he's a ben melech. I'm the prince. I have to carry myself in a certain way. I have to behave in a certain way. I'm always being watched. The paparazzi are always looking after me because I am the Ben Melech. I have a certain stature, standing. I have to hold myself in a certain account. That's Rashi number one. Then, at the end of Aseres HaDibros, Uvitoyim Dibur Elokim, at the conclusion of the words of Hashem, there's another pasuk that says, Vayomer Moshe Ha'om Al Tiro. So the people were afraid. The description of Har Sinai, the giving of the Torah, is a frightening description of the frightening thunder and lightning and fire and smoke and shofar and trembling. It was quite an experience. So at the end of the whole experience, Moshe, and of course Chazal say that after the first two Dibros, Hashem spoke directly to the people, and each time Parchon Nishmasam, their neshamas flew out of their bodies. They weren't able to, the body wasn't able to contain the neshama at this experience of meeting up with directly with the prophecy of Hashem.
After the first two or the first two?
Both of them. After each one of the first two, Chazal say their neshamas.
You're saying that's when Chazal says that it happened. Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
So at the end of the whole thing, Moshe says to the people, Al Tiro, don't be afraid. Because they clearly, at that point, had been afraid. Ki leva avur nasois eschem boha elokim. It was in order to nasois eschem.
like a nace, like Teresa.
So the question again, Rashi and the Ramban argue, what is the word nasois? So the first word that usually comes to mind when you see the word nace is
like a miracle.
Is a miracle or a nisayon.
Oh,
right. Lenasos would be the verb form of a test, of a nisayon. So which is the way the Ramban understands this. Hashem appeared Linasois Eschan to test you, to see whether or not you would follow that. That's the end of the pasuk. Levavur Nasois Eschan. There is a certain test involved in Kabbalah Sotar. There's a certain test involved in the fact that I've revealed myself openly to all of you.
To see if they're able to handle it.
So you can see the Ramban has an approach exactly what the test was. The Ramban really has it's an attest as to whether or not you'll have a certain level of chesed. The Ramban has it in a bigger context, which is not for now. But that's how, so the root of the word levavur nasos. And this is really a pretty critical pasuk, because Moshe here is describing, in a sense, what was Hashem's intention in his revealing himself to us. Here he has this most monumental event in Jewish history, giving of the Torah Har Sinai. And Moshe says, don't worry, this is why he did it. Leva'avur nasois eschan. So the Ramban says, in order to test you, don't fail, says the Ramban. That's how the Ramban understands this. This is a test, beware, be prepared, and be strong. Rashi, however, does not understand it that way. Rashi quotes it here in the next line. Levavur nasos eschem. So Rashi learns that the way Nathaniel said, as a nace, as a banner, legadil eschem ba'olam, to raise you up in the world, sheyetzei lochem shem ba'umos, to give you a name amongst all the nations of the world, shehu b'chvodo nigla aleichem, that all the nations of the world will say, Hashem Himself appeared before you. Nasos, says Rashi, is lashon harama ugidula. It's a language of exaltedness, raising up, and greatness. Kemo harimunes, like raise up the banner. Arim nasi, I raised up my banner. Ukneis al hagiva shehu zakov. So Rashi, ukneis al hagiva shehu zakov, which is like the banner on the mountain, which is upright. So Rashi learns again in this very fundamental pasuk. Why did Hashem reveal Himself to you? Leva avur nasos. So Rashi says, in order to raise you up, to give you a stature, a standing amongst the nations of the world, that they will all know and say, Hashem Himself has revealed Himself to you, and you will be that banner out there in the world. Says Rav Olba HaRamban, Cholek Rashi B'Shnei HaMakomos. In both places, the Ramban argues, just as far as taich of the words, as far as the explanation, the translation, what does it mean to be Mamlachas Kohan, and what does it mean to be Linasos Eschem? Ach Brura Daito Shel Rashi, but Rashi doesn't learn. It's clear. In Rashi's mind, Ki kavana sabori yisbarach behagloiso al amo. In both places, Rashi is clear that the intention of Hashem in His revealing Himself to us, la asosa mamlechas sarim, to make us a nation of princes, shekol yochid v'yochid yihe gadol v'vechinos sar ba'olam. Each individual should be like a prince, should have a staff, should walk around, should carry himself, should know that he's been given a crown, that he is a prince amongst the people of the world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu bo, and the reason why Hashem revealed Himself, legadel uleroimim es haklal Yisrael. Roman muzos hishir koma ilai. This is a very high stature, high level of standing. The kein hoya shezochu lecheirus mehaumos mimalach hamaves. And that's what happened to us. We became that kind of, we became officers, we became sons of princes, we were free from all the nations, we had no subjugation of the nations of the world, we were not subject to the Malach HaMavis, except that we sinned with the Chet HaEgel and we lost all of that. But what happened at Kabbalah Sator, and the purpose of Kabbalah Sator, as Rashi learns clear, was to give us that stature. And that's a stature which we take with us forever. That applies to each one of us today in the same sense. And it was revealed, Hashem revealed Himself to us, that we should be a Mamlachas Kohanim. Rashi means of princes. We should linasos eschem, to raise us up like a banner, raised up on the flagpole, on the staff, to be a sign of greatness to the world that Hashem has revealed Himself to us. So that is our avoda, says Rav Olda, as we prepare for Kabbalah Satayra, to understand the significance of the gift that we are receiving. The significance of what the impact of the Torah has to have on us, besides for giving us that status of kavod, of where we walk around saying that the learning of the Torah that we're going to do should change us, should develop us, should make us refined people, And that the reason why Hashem did that to us is to raise us up. There's a certain severity, a certain significance, a heaviness of the task at hand that the Torah wants to impart into us, that we should know what it is exactly that we are trying to accomplish. This avodah of becoming mechubad, understanding the significance of the Torah, the significance that it has on us. Okay, that is, he has two prakim on Kabbalah Sater and on preparation for Shavuos. That is the essence of his first. Let's do, in our last remaining minutes, let's do one or two paragraphs from his second. Okay, Chag is flipping over the other left hand side of the page. Chag Matan Torah Mechaye Lono as Hamaymed Hamakudor She'in Doimelo B'chol Shnos Dor. So this Yontav of Matan Torah relives for us the Ma'amid HaMekudosh, that standing, that holy standing which has no comparison in all the generations, that of Kabbalah Satara. We relive that experience which no generation will ever relive in that same way as what was that moment, that time. And that's what we are now preparing for, to go through such a similar experience. So what did they do? What happened then? So we should know how to best recreate it. You know, if you want to try to relive and recreate that which took place, you need to be clear in the understanding of what it was that happened. What was the hachana lekabbalas haTorah? So the pasuk says, this is again at the beginning of the first pasuk in Perek Yates, which we quoted just a few moments ago. By Yisum Erefidim, by Yavo Midbar Sinai. So this is on Rosh Chodesh. They traveled from Erefidim. They arrived at the Midbar Sinai. By Yichon Sham Yisrael Neged Hahar, and the Jewish people encamped there, literally opposite the mountain. So Rashi is bothered as Chazal are by two parts of this pasuk. The first thing is that it says Vayisu Merefidim Ayavo Midbar Sinai. This is actually, in context, it's hard to appreciate this because the first pasuk actually already said that Bachodesh Hashlishi, that the Jewish people got to Midbar Sinai. So pasuk Aleph already says that the Jewish people got to Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh, and then pasuk Beis says Vayisu Merefidim Ayavo Midbar Sinai. Repeats. They had come from Refidim and they got to Midbar Sinai. So Chazal are bothered. You already told me in Pasuk Aleph that they arrived at Midbar Sinai. If I flip back a couple of pages, I can easily on my own figure out where they last came from. So if I know they're already in Midbar Sinai and I can figure out that they came from Refidim, why does the Torah go back and stress that they came from Refidim and they arrived at Midbar Sinai? That's problem number one in the Pasuk. And problem number two is the switch from singular language to plural language. The pasuk opens up, Vayisu Merefidim is plural. Vayavo Midbar Sinai is plural. Vayichon Shom Yisrael is singular. So Chazal are bothered by both parts. The whole pasuk is off. Why do we need to know Bechlal that they traveled from Refidim, they got in Midbar Sinai, that we could have figured that out on our own? And two, why do we switch from a plural description of Klal Yisrael and then all of a sudden we describe them as a singular encampment, Neged Hahar? So says Rashi, quoting from Chazal, Ma bi also in the Midbar Sinai b'tshuva, just like their arrival in Midbar Sinai was b'tshuva, afnisi also mirfidim b'tshuva. So Chazal understood Refidim, and a very important event happened in Refidim. That was where they were attacked by Amalek. Chazal darshin Refidim sherafu yedehim v'torah, they weakened their hands in Torah, and that's what allowed for Amalek to come and attack them. So just like they emerged from that, the tshuva, so they arrived in Midbar Sinai in tshuva as well. And that's what Chazal are saying. That's why the Torah is stressing a connection between leaving Refidim and arriving. Why do we need to know where they? We know that already. We're connecting it. And they describe that it was in a tshuva process, which he's going to describe very briefly, not really so relevant to our discussion for right now. Vayichon Shom Yisrael, and what's with the singular language? So Rashi quotes, famous Rashi, Ki ish echad b'lev echad. They arrived and encamped, Ki ish echad, as one person, b'lev echad, with one heart. Says Ravoyba, Hatshuva kvar kodma, the tshuva already was there, it preceded the Jewish people's arrival, v'hi kvar hekifas kol. Now, that was already the attitude, that was the atmosphere surrounding the people, was an atmosphere of tshuva from their previous episode of the attack of Amalek in Refidim. Uvehigiyam l'Sinai, and when they arrived at Sinai, kulam ki'ish echad, they arrived as one person. Kol shneimasar shvatim, 12 entire tribes. Mikotan ad gadol, from the smallest of the child until the eldest of the elders. Milyonim ravim, literally, several million people. And the Chazal can say, the Torah is saying, ki ish echad v'lev echad. Millions of people, b'li shum pirud. There was no fractions, there were no separations, there was no dissension, no machlokes, no arguments. K'tata v'kas b'neim. Fighting anger. And millions of people, none of that. Am sholem be'achdus v'ahava gemura. One nation, sholem, complete be'achdus, with unity, complete love. That's ki'ish echad. And as if that wasn't enough of accomplishment, that the Jewish people arrived ki'ish echad, Chazal say they arrived v'lev echad. V'od zos v'lev echad. Deya achas. Ratzon echad. One's mindset. It's one thing to say that we all got along. So we could accomplish in this room ki'ish echad. We all get along. No fighting. Everybody's happy. But we don't think the same. We don't have the same desires. We don't have the same wants. We don't have the same intentions of what we want to accomplish in here. We're just all ki'ish echad. We can all be ba'achdus in which we get along. To add to that, a b'lev echad in which we have the same day, the same approach, the same wants, the same desires. We want to accomplish the same thing. Ritzoneinu liros es malkeinu. So Rashi's quoting, the Revolver is quoting it from a Rashi. Again, this is in Perek Yutes. I feel guilty. I just gave a shiur on Perek Yutes over Shabbos. So I feel like every time I quote it, I'm like giving all the background as if I'm like holding an oil of Chumash. It's not true. I just happened to have spoken about this on Shabbos. So this is coming from Ritzoneinu liros es malkeinu. So the second prophecy that Moshe receives on Harsinai. So he went up the first time, and Hashem gives him the message which we just read about Temtiu Mamlachas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. You'll be a nation of Kohanim. You'll be a holy nation. Listen to everything that I say. I'll bring you on the wings of eagles. That's the first prophecy. People say Kol Asheras Diber Hashem Nasa. Whatever Hashem wants, we're in. It's good to go. Moshe goes back up to Harsinai, and then he gets a second prophecy. And the second prophecy is in which Hashem says, I'm going to speak to you through the thickness of the cloud, so that the people will know that you're not just making this up on your own. They're going to know, when I teach the Aseres HaDibros, they're going to somehow perceive that it is me directly speaking to you, Moshe. V'yaminu l'chol ha'olam. They'll always believe in you, because they'll have experienced that when you were listening, that I was talking to you. Moshe comes back down with the good news that when he receives the Aseres HaDibros, the people will perceive that it was Hashem speaking directly to Moshe. And the people respond and they say, no deal, that's not going to work. Ritzoneinu lirosas malkeinu. We want to see Hashem. We are not interested in this. Yeah, we perceive that Hashem is speaking directly to you. We want to get it directly from you. That's what happened with the first of the Aseres HaDibros, and it turns out that they might have wanted it, but they weren't able to handle it. So the first two they got, it didn't work out. So then the remaining eight were from Hashem to Moshe in a way that they could perceive it, and then Moshe transmitted it to us. So Rav Ovad is borrowing that chazal that the people together in unison said, no deal, we don't want to go through Moshe in a way that we know that it's honest and true and accurate. We want it directly from you, Ritzoneinu lirosas malkeinu. We want to see our king ourselves. Says Rav Ovad, v'lev echad. Not only were ki'ish echad, when there was no dissension, there was no fighting, there were no separate factions within the Jewish people, but it was v'lev echad, with one deya, with one ratzon, together. His oirus kizos shel kulam biyachad, says Rav Ovad. This level of his oirus, this level of an inspiration where everybody is together. So we would like to say, wow, what an odd thing. Can you imagine a Klal Yisrael? That would be great, but who can ever imagine something like that? Says Rav Ovad, it's just the opposite. Zehu haklal Yisrael bitifarto. That's really what Klal Yisrael is about. That's the MS of Klal Yisrael. Ki'ish echad, v'lev echad. Kach nira haklal Yisrael la'amito. The essence of Klal Yisrael is that our 2,000 years of goals have brought us to a place where we are today, where such a concept is, right, who can even imagine getting back to that place? So many different groups of Klal Yisrael, everyone thinks that they know how to do it right, and this is right, and this is wrong. The emes of Klal Yisrael, the amito, the essence, is ki'ish echad, v'lev echad, where we are all the yachad with the same day, the same ratzon, ritzoneinu lirosas malkeinu, to see and experience the Ribbono shel Olam without fighting, without contention. That's Klal Yisrael.
We have similar cases we had everybody gathered together, Siyam HaShas. There were times that it was almost like that.
With those things are generally within a group of Klal Yisrael when we do that, but those have not been massive you know, interdenominational, if you will, a little bit. But you know, we're getting close. There are events in which we're getting there, but we are still far from the end goal. Let's see if we can knock up the lead. Next paragraph. So the people answered together, and they said, "Whatever Hashem wants, we are in." Says the Medrash, "Lo ano b'chanufa v'lo kiblu zemizeh ela hishvu kulam." It wasn't that one person forced the other one; one person convinced the other person. They all, on their own, b'leiv echa, they all came to the same conclusion on their own. V'omru kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh. That's what it means. Kol ha'om yachta. Why does the Torah say that they answered all together? It means they all on their own came to the same conclusion. B'leiv echa, they all said, "We want kol asher diber Hashem. Whatever Hashem says, we're in." Ulai ha'islosham hispalus hamonis. Maybe you think that it was just that there were so many people who were inspired. Achagami shelo hiskin believe obitol dat. Okay, yeah, you know, 3 million people. So let's imagine that 2.5 million were excited about it. So they would drag in the other 500,000 because 2.5 million people were all excited about the same idea. Okay, everybody join. Lo, it's not what happened. Ki kol echad gomar believe obidas bru roshu roitzel lekabelas atzur. Every single individual with an entire complete heart accepted upon himself the Torah. Kulam ke echad uvechol zos. Kol echad ve'echad biyichud, and that's the greatness of the situation. Everyone together, and yet each individual also. So we're, as a unit, we're one, made up of individuals. Gam zehu migdulaso shalami. So that's also part of the godless of Klal Yisrael, is that as much as we are powerful as a klal, we are a klal made up of powerful individuals. Kimat anachnu miskashim leha'amin. We can't even believe. We can't even believe our nation, our people. We look around the Jewish world. These people, these Jews, it's because of the length of the darkness of the exile. We're just defined at the dissension and machlokas. Ach the Chag Hakadosh Shalonu, but in this Chag, this Yontif Mirtz Hashem, a couple days away, Thursday night, Anu Misyachdim Im Matzav Haklal Yisrael B'Tifarto. We try ourselves to connect, to be misyached with the matzav, the situation of Klal Yisrael in its greatness. The Neda Ki Zois Hi Tzuraso Ha'amitis. This is the real tzura. Sometimes, so we're going to, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm saying this myself. So like, what am I going to, so I'm going to be sitting here in this little base madrash, or I'll be in the conference room upstairs teaching my classes. So I'll have a group of 20 people in a shir. Like, so how is this helping the Klal Yisrael situation? So no, you need to at least be aware as you're going through Shavuos, appreciate what the MS of Klal Yisrael is supposed to look like. You need to know that as you're sitting there in Kabbalah Satayra, you need to be willing and ready to take the steps to say, I am part of the bigger Klal. And the MS of Klal Yisrael is without the machlokas, without the dissension of Kulam b'leiv echad ki ish echad. Together, that is the real surah. That's what Klal Yisrael is supposed to look like. And what we're looking at right now is way off the mark of the way that it's supposed to be. What do we as individuals do about that? That's a separate question. But the first step is, I don't even know. I think if all of Klal Yisrael would believe that what we have today is so far off the mark, that would be a massive leap forward sure. to getting there. I don't know that we're there yet, where we can say that on Shavuos, every single Yid is davening at Shavuos morning, thinking, you know, Klal Yisrael is in a horrible matzav. We're really, there's a lot of machlokas in Klal Yisrael. It's really not the way that it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be kleiv echad, ki ish echad, and it's not. That's the first step, is knowing that that's the real surah of Klal Yisrael. Let's get one more. Belev echad. What does it mean to be belev echad? Hu hakli. The vessel through which the Torah was given was a Klal Yisrael that was B'lev Echad. Anything in this world, if you want to receive it, you have to have an appropriate vessel with which to contain and to receive whatever blessings, whatever material you want to get, you have to be able to hold it. When Hashem wanted to give His Torah to Klal Yisrael, chipes kli hanesugol lehochel askula. You needed a kli that was able to contain. Torah is a big thing. Torah might be a little safer Torah that you could hold in your arms, but the concept of giving the Torah to Klal Yisrael, it's pretty incontainable. What kind of kli, what kind of vessel did He have with which to give us the Torah? Well, matzah kodesh baruch hu kli machzik bracha ela hashalom. There is no vessel that can contain the bracha other than Shalom, she'ne'emar Hashem oz li'amo yitein. Hashem gave us strength. Hashem yivarech esamav shalom. Now, what is really oz? Literally means strength. Ve'ein oiz el Torah. Hashem gave us the Torah, it needed to be b'shalom. There's no other way, there's no other vessel with which that the Torah can contain itself, can be contained in the Jewish people without shalom. Bo haTorah v'hashalom kruchim min hashemayim, they came wound up together, Torah and shalom min hashemayim. V'acharei ha'hachana harbe shel tshuva v'hisachdus, only through preparation of the tshuva and being unified, the people kulam yachtav. Hishra HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaShlomo Al Ha'om. Then Hashem bestowed His peace upon the people. Shemilev Kulam, Notzer Mamish, Lev Echad, Belim Elizus. For any distinctions, we became a people of Lev Echad, Kli Adir Echad, Be'oimko Uverochbo, in its depth, in its width, just a oneness. Lev Godol Shal Shishim Ruba, 600,000, one heart. Ilu HaYachoser Mehem Echad, Lo HaYisatera Yecholo Lihinosen. Had just one person been missing, Torah could not have been given in its entirety. You needed Gan's Kla Yisrael, all of them, the Kishachad, the Levachad.
Well, what was that you said, the next to last line, Notzer Mamash Leva Echad Beli Melitzos? What is Melitzos?
I think it means without any type of separation or distinction, but I'm not positive of the exact translation.
Okay.
All right, that is his, as we have our final minute. So that's some of his Achana, starting with the idea that we started between the Guf and the Neshama, of understanding that the purpose of all of these things, the Chovas HaYivar and the Chovas HaGuf, to allow the heart to become open so that the mitzvahs that we do inspire us, open up our understanding of that through the preparation of Shavuos, of getting ready to understand the Nechbados, the level of sensitivity that the Torah is supposed to give with us, that we need to be Mechabed, the Torah, the level of Achdus that's required. These are some of the hachanas, the preparations that we need, and to be able to actually go through the Yontif of Shavuos and get out of it what it has to offer.